I had to turn off my microphone because I was singing.
Oh.
I remember what Nicole said when we came up to that table. Your microphone was on during that song. Don't do that again. That was beautiful. And like I said, that was new to me. You'd think as old as I was, I'd have heard of them all, but that was beautiful. Thank you very much for that. So yeah, I'm an old guy. I remember the oldies, you know. Anybody remember Running on Empty? Jackson Browne?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay, well, there was this singer. His name was Jackson Browne. Okay, not James Brown, Jackson Browne. And he had a song out, and it was called Running on Empty. All right? And I'm not going to talk about that. They don't know the song, Rick. What am I going to do? See, Running on Empty was kind of like Jackson Browne's breakthrough song. Okay? And it worked for him. He was able to have a great deal of success back in the 1840s, and which is why you all never heard of him. But anyway, but it worked for him, but it doesn't work for Christians. It doesn't work for us. It isn't going to ever work for us. We heard when George read just a part of the scripture of John chapter 6, and if you read it, you find out that that entire chapter is about food, and it's about meals, and it's about table time. It's table talk, the way John talks about the table. And that's what's going on in John. But the crowd is not happy with what they hear. They're not happy with what's on the menu. They don't want Jesus. They just want Jesus' miracles. Just want Jesus' miracles. We hunger sometimes in our lives, but so much time we settle for empty calories that are not able to sustain us. Back in 2011, the United States Department of Agriculture said that the average American ate 1,996 pounds of food a year. That is almost one ton of food a year. Each of us, one ton of food a year. That's hard to swallow. That was 17 years ago. We've been working on it since then, and that was the average American. Some of us are a little bit above average on the food category. That is 600 pounds of milk, yogurt. I'm thinking, I don't come close to that. And ice cream. Oh, I'm guilty. 600 pounds. That's 31 pounds of cheese. I'm guilty. 185 pounds of meat. I'm above average there. That's pretty good. 415 pounds of vegetables. Now, before you give yourself a pat on the back, all right, most of that is corn and potatoes. Hardly the nutritional superstars, all right? So, 141 pounds of sweeteners, including 42 pounds of corn syrup. This is what we're doing, all right? We are talking about 85 pounds of fat, butter, oil. Yeah, they didn't put the butter in with the dairy. They kept it in its own separate category, all right? That's like 2,700 calories a day. In a lifetime, that's like 75 tons of food that each of us are going to consume. Now, think about a large room, maybe a warehouse, all right? And in that warehouse is all the food you're going to eat in the course of a lifetime. That's 42,000 pounds of dairy, 14,000 pounds of meat, 7,000 pounds of butter and fat. And if somebody was to sit us down in this warehouse and said we had to eat all of that food, we would be overwhelmed. And yet, we do it. How do we do it? One day at a time. That's how we do it. We do it one day at a time. Let me ask another question. How are we going to face all the heartbreak in our lives that life will hold for us? How will we deal with all of the problems? How are we going to handle all the disappointments, the loss, the grief? It's the same answer. One day at a time. Sometimes we think that the answer to not having bad stuff happen to us is to become a Christian. If I become a Christian and follow Jesus, then God is going to take care of me. God is going to protect me from bad things happening in my life. And if I only believe hard enough, then that's God's job to protect me, to take care of me. But being a Christian is not about being protected. Being a Christian is about being connected. And there is a huge difference. We are sustained one meal at a time right here at this table. Here, we remember that God's grace is sufficient. Here, we remember that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Here, we remember that death, darkness, loss has no hold on us because we're third-day people. We're third-day people. They crucified Jesus on a Friday, but on a Sunday, he arose. We are third-day people, living one day at a time. Some of you may know that's part of the longer version of the prayer, the Serenity Prayer. Remember the Serenity Prayer, how that goes? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And then the longer version adds, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Jesus sustains us one day at a time. We don't sit down and have 75 tons of Jesus. Not in one day, not at one meal. We have him in daily doses. Remember the one-a-day vitamins? All right, our daily dose of Jesus offered to us every day through God's grace. A few years ago, a survey was done. What is the phrase people most long to hear? What's the one phrase that everybody most wants to hear? The answer, not surprisingly, is, I love you. The second place surprised me. I forgive you. I wouldn't have expected that. The third one, dinner is ready. Who knew? It's like they're living in my head. We live to hear about that. Apparently, we want love, we want forgiveness, and we want dinner. And all three of those are offered to us right here at this table every time we celebrate communion. Bruce Springsteen reminds us that everybody has a hungry heart. And Jesus reminds us that he is the bread of life. Jesus says, I am what you need. I love you. I forgive you. I am the bread of life, the living bread that satisfies the hungry heart in each of us. But, of course, sometimes it's not enough. We want a miracle. It's nice that you want to be my friend, Jesus, but what I really want, we're not that bold usually, except for privately in the secret places of our heart. What I really want, I could be happier if, my life would be better if, and we begin and we begin and we begin and we begin. And Jesus says, but I'm what you need. Remember how the crowds were. The crowds, they wanted a miracle. That's what they wanted. The 5,000 fed and they were like, this is great stuff. Going to save on the food budget. Just follow Jesus. He's going to feed us every meal. We'll never go hungry again. Bring the wife. Bring the kids. Hold our family. It's Jesus' buffet. Come and get all you want. And Jesus says, it's not about the loaves. It's not about the fishes. It's about me. It's about me. We're not provided with what we want. We're provided with what we need. Some bread. Some love. Some breath, some wine, some juice in our case. We are offered Jesus, given Jesus, who will sustain us one day at a time. All of us have a hungry heart. All of us hunger and thirst for things in our life, whether it's success or power or popularity, whatever it is, we hunger for it. And too many times we're hungering for the wrong things. Did you ever see the movie Pirates of the Caribbean? All right, finally, we're connecting. See? You don't know Jackson Brown or Bruce Springsteen, but Pirates of the Caribbean, all right? So in the movie, all right, the pirate Barbossa, remember him, Barbossa? And he's explaining to Elizabeth the curse of the Aztec gold. Remember how he explains it? He says, "There be the chest, inside be the gold, and we took them all. We spent them and traded them and frittered them away on drink and food and pleasurable company. And the more we gave them away, the more we came to realize the drink could not satisfy. Food turned to ash in our mouths, and all the pleasurable company in the world could not slake our lust. We are cursed men, Miss Turner. Compelled by greed, we were. Consumed by greed, we are. Always wanting more, wanting something different. We've all heard the phrase, we are what we eat, and too many times we line up at the wrong buffet line. It's all you can eat, and we're overstuffing our mouths and our stomachs, but our hearts are screaming that they're hungering and thirsting, that there is a famine in our souls. This past Wednesday, I've given up watching football, so I'm trying to learn baseball. I'm just kidding. I'm never going to give up football. I'm sick that way. But there is another sport. It's called baseball. I don't understand it. You get points for running home. Seems kind of like a wussy sport to me, but all right. But anyway, so there's this major league umpire. His name is Joe West, okay? This past Wednesday, he moved into second place, all-time games umped, or umpired, or whatever that word would be. And he's done 5,164 games this past Wednesday, all right? And they were playing in Minneapolis. And so there's this restaurant in Minneapolis said that, "Hey, Joe West, we're going to recognize you. Come to the restaurant. We have prepared a special menu." So this is Manny's Steakhouse in Minneapolis, in case you ever want to go there. All right. They made a custom menu just for Joe West, celebrating his 5,164th game. It was written in Braille. Let that sink. You know how umpires are always cold, you can't see? Yeah, so they wrote it in Braille. See, sometimes, some of you are going to get it, some of you are stuck on football, and you're, I don't know. Sometimes we're blinded. Sometimes we fail to see that what we need is right before us. We fail to see that we are loved. We fail to see that we're forgiven. We fail to see the bread of life that will sustain us, that all we have to do is to receive it. A relationship with God is not based upon doing more devotions. It's not about doing another Bible study. Those are all great things, but that's not what it's about. It's a life of inner peace and contentment with God, of knowing that we're loved and forgiven, that our identity is not based on our achievements or our circumstances or our situation, but upon our relationship with God. We are not made to run on empty. But our spirits don't come with a gauge. But they do come with warning signals. They do come with warning signals. Here's a few warning signals that I've noticed in my life. A family member's gum chewing suddenly reveals a massive character flaw. Oh yeah, my gauge is moving a little closer to empty. It's hard to make up my mind even about simple decisions. My gauge is running on empty. Impulses to eat or drink or spend or crave are harder to resist than they otherwise would be. More likely in favor of short-term gain in a way that will leave high-term, long-term cost. You've studied the Bible. You know how come Israel ended up worshiping that golden lamb? They got tired of waiting for God. They got tired of waiting for Moses to come down. They just got tired. They got tired of waiting. And what happened? They ended up sinning really, really bad. Our judgment suffers when our gauge is coming down to empty. We have less courage. And all of those are indicators to us that it's time for a daily dose of Jesus, to receive that bread of life, to go to the one who will sustain us. Sometimes we have this idea that our lives will be better if we have other stuff. Our lives, our world will be filled with love, peace, and joy once the external part of our lives is perfect. But the secret to feeding a hungry heart is not with human achievement or material wealth. It's not about acquiring the right things. It's not something we buy. It's something we get for free. It's God. It's Jesus. It's grace. It's love. It's forgiveness. It's bread. We are offered love, forgiveness, and the bread of life. And I invite you to come. Amen. Amen.